Oui, que je ne sais pas, nous pouvons l'atteler là où il y a Today is June 12th. This will be our final lecture of the course. Today is our last long day. That is a four-hour day. After today, we have only two more short class meetings where we will finish up our work and have presentations of your final projects. So far, we have talked about handouts 1 through 10 in the course notes. Today, we will continue on to talk about handout 11, which is on sentence structure, and handout 12, which is on aspect, tense, and mood. These last three handouts, 10, 11, and 12, are especially important for homework 6 and your final project. Your final project will be to analyze a text of at least 60 words. You're going to transcribe it, that is, write it out in normal New Channel spelling using the New Channel alphabet. Then you're going to break down every word into its meaningful parts using dashes and say what each part means. Last, you're going to add a natural English translation to the text. You have already started to try transcribing some texts, and we've talked about what they mean, what their words are. We haven't yet started to break down the words and sentences, but we will be doing that today. Recall that in handout 10, I told you what an interlinear analysis is. Interlinear means between the lines. The top line of an interlinear analysis gives a sentence or sentences in the target language. The bottom line gives a translation, a natural translation into English, and the middle line says what every meaningful part of the target language example means. We looked at three-line interlinear analysis, as in one, and four-line interlinear analysis, as in two. I recommend that you do number two, that you have four lines of analysis. At the bottom of handout 10 are some very common endings, that some of which will almost certainly appear in your text. However, there are many more endings than these. So I'll also be talking more about how to look up word parts and endings in Sapir and Swadesh's word list. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we'll start with handout 11. Chooch. We're on handout 11, which is about sentence structure. I think you all know what a sentence is. A sentence is several words that hang together that usually end in a period, and they convey a complete idea. You might have learned in elementary or high school that in English, a sentence consists of a subject and a predicate. That is true. In New Channel, sentence structure is a little bit different. Today we'll be learning about what makes a complete sentence in New Channel and how to break it into its parts. There are a lot of technical terms defined at the beginning of handout 11 that I will not be going into right now, but I want to start with sentence, clause, predicate, and participant. These are the most important terms that we'll need in order to talk about sentence structure. A clause is something that is hard to understand until you've seen a few examples, but most of what we say about sentence structure is actually about the structure of the clause. It's just that you might not have considered what a clause is. As for predicates and participants, these are two of the main parts of a sentence in New Channel, predicates and participants. There is a third ingredient in New Channel sentences, which is called mood. And we'll be getting more into that in handout 12. Once you understand what a clause is, what predicates, participants, and moods are, you'll be most of the way towards understanding basic sentence structure in New Channel. Example 1 is a diagram that tries to show the basic structure of an Echanoff sentence. First, a sentence consists of at least one clause. In the diagram in one, sentence and clause are the same thing. But the more complicated a sentence gets, the more clauses it can contain. A series of words that ends in a period is one sentence, but a sentence can contain any number of clauses. The simplest sentences are just one clause, but a lot of the power of human languages to express almost any idea comes from the fact that human sentences can be expanded to include as many clauses as necessary to convey whatever the idea is. Now, a clause consists of three main parts: predicate, mood, and participants. That's what the diagram in one is trying to show. There's a lot more to say about sentence structure, but this is what it all comes down to. In examples 2 through 6, we have several examples of simple clauses in central dialect broken down into their parts, into predicate, mood, and participants. So let's take a look at these. Why don't we start by reading all of these together? So starting with example 2, wa ich ish na yakaki. The baby is sleeping. Wa ich ish na yakaki. Number 3, chims ish ho yahe. That's a bear over there. In colloquial dialect, I believe this would be chims ish house. Example 4, Bishak ish ha ainitli. That dog is bad. Bishak ish ha ainitli. Number 5, Saya ish chaaki. The island is far away. Saya ish chaaki. Number 6, Hitin kis ish nani. Grandma's at the beach. Hitin kis ish nani. Now, each of these sentences consists of just one clause. Each clause consists of a predicate, a mood ending, and at least one participant. The participant is the person or thing that the clause is about. These clauses are about a baby, about that thing, about a dog, about an island, and about grandma. Those are the participants in these sentences. The predicate of the clause is the event or description that applies to the participant. So whenever we make a sentence or a clause, we're talking about some participant and we're saying something about it. The thing that we say about the participant is the predicate. So, for example, in clause 2, wa ich ish na yakaki, the baby is the participant, and what we're saying about it is that it's sleeping. So, sleeping is the predicate. In number 3, the participant is hao yahe, that thing over there, and what we're saying about it is that it's a bear. So, the predicate is chims, the participant is hao yahe. In number 4, the participant is that dog, ha ainitli, and what we're saying about it is that it's bad. So the predicate is bad. I hope that'll give you a general idea of what predicates and participants are. You choose a participant, that's the thing you're talking about, then you say something about it, that's the predicate, and you have a clause. However, there's another important ingredient that you need to complete the clause, and that is a mood ending. Mood is a very important category in Echanoff that is much less important in English. English also has mood, but mood in English is much less obvious and much less important, whereas Echanoff uses mood in all kinds of important ways to say things about a sentence. For one thing, you can't have a complete sentence without a mood ending. Every clause must be completed by a mood ending. There are about 20 moods to choose from in Echanoff, depending on what kind of clause you're making. So besides completing the sentence, a mood ending also tells you whether the sentence is a statement, question, or command. So there are moods for statements, moods for questions, and moods for commands. The mood ending also tells you something about who the sentence is about, because it agrees with the person of the sentence. All of these sentences have the mood ending ish, because they are about a he, she, or it. Ish is the he, she, it ending of the strong mood. And to help you understand what that is, I'm going to show you the beginner's mood guide. You can find the beginner's mood guide at quistoup.net. You'll see quistoup.net on your screen. Go to where it says curriculum and lessons. And about halfway down the page is the beginner's mood guide. Here's what it looks like. The beginner's mood guide has a bunch of boxes. Most boxes have about six endings in them. And the one we're looking for is the second one in the top row. Do you see where it says strong? And then below that, BC. And then in the box, it says Sish, Itsk, Ish, Nish, Itsush, Ish, Ush. I bet that most of you are familiar with these endings. These are the six endings of the strong mood in Barkly Sound dialects and Central dialects. That's what BC means. B for Barkly Sound, C for Central. Tlokwit and Ahauzit, which are the dialects of most of you here, are Central dialects. Now, the third ending down is Ish. Ish is the strong mood ending for he, she, and it. Do you see how on the left margin, each row of the chart is labeled with a person? I, you, he, she, it, we, you all, and they. Take the first sentence of handout 11. So that's number two. Wa ich ish na yakak'i. Wa ich ish na yakak'i. Now, something you'll notice in the diagram in one is that the participants are in brackets. That's because every clause requires at least one participant, but we don't have to say who they are as long as it's understood. So if it is already understood that I'm talking about a baby, I don't have to say na yakak'i. I can drop it, and I can just say wa ich ish. It is sleeping. Wa ich ish. As long as it's understood who I'm talking about, I don't have to say the participant. Now let's look again at the beginner's mood guide. This mood guide shows us that we can replace the ending ish with the ending nish. The ending nish is also strong mood, but it agrees with the subject we. So if I replace ish with nish, that gives us wa ich nish. We are sleeping. Wa ich nish. I could also replace it with itsk. That's the second ending in the box. Wa ich itsk. You are sleeping. Wa ich itsk. And so on. Now I'm going down to the question mood. This is on the second page of the beginner's mood guide. You'll notice that the endings in the second box here, the one that says CT above it, shows the endings for Central and Northern dialects. C for Central, T for Northern. Don't ask why T is for Northern right now. We can talk about that later if you want. But most of you will mainly be interested in the boxes marked C for Central. The question mood endings in Central dialects are HES for I, K for you, for he, she, or it, hen for we, hsu for you all, and hh for they. I can add any of these endings to wa ich to make a question. For example, if I add the second ending, the K ending, that would give us Wa'ichk, are you sleeping? Wa'ichk, are you sleeping? So the change in mood from strong to question has turned our sentence from a statement to a question. Do you see that? Three of the most important moods in Nuchanalth are the strong mood, the question mood, and the command mood. To give you an idea of how these moods differ, I've taken one word, the word shahit, which means okay, and I've added the endings itsk, and i to it. The ending itsk belongs to the strong mood, the ending k belongs to the question mood, and the ending i belongs to the command mood. You will find all of these endings on the beginner's mood guide. Now, all of these endings agree with you. So these all make a clause that is about you, that is the person who I'm talking to. But the mood is different. The first sentence, shah yit itsk, it uses the strong mood, which makes a statement. Shah yit itsk is a statement of fact. You are okay. Shah yit itsk, you are okay. The second clause uses the question mood, shah yitk. This is a question about you. Shah yitk, are you okay? Shah yitk. The third clause uses the command mood, shah yitti. This is a command. I'm telling you to do something. Be okay. Shah yitti. Be okay. I might say this if I had just rescued you, but you're still unconscious, and I'm holding you and saying, be okay. Shah yitti. The examples at the bottom of page of handout 11 and the examples I just shared with you are intended to give just a little bit of an idea of how important mood is in a Nuchanalth clause. The mood ending that you choose completes the clause. It says who the clause is about. It says whether it's a statement, question, or command. And it does other things as well. It usually says something about the quality of the information, whether it's true or guessed at or unknown. And it also tells us something about whether this is an independent clause that can stand alone or if it's embedded inside another clause. That's something you might not understand yet, but we'll see some examples of later. That for now is the end of our introduction to Nuchanalth clause structure. We'll have a lot more to say about it. Those are just the bare details. Now, I'd like to go straight into handout 12 and talk about aspect, tense, and mood. I'll give you a few examples from the text that you've chosen, and then I'll let you work on your homeworks and final project. If you have any questions on handout 11, now's a good time. We're now on handout 12. Handout 12 is about three important categories in inflection. Inflection is a technical term for changes that we make to words and clauses in order to convey important information in the sentence. Every language has its own kind of inflection. In English, verbs are inflected with endings like s and ed. So, for example, we walk, Adam walks. When we make a sentence in English, a present tense sentence about a he, she, or it, the verb ends in an S. We walk, but Adam walks. Do you hear that S? That is an inflectional ending of English. When we put a verb in the past tense in English, it gets an ED. We walked. Adam walked. The S and the ED are inflectional endings of English. Now we're going to talk about some important inflectional endings of Nuchanalth. As you'll see, inflection in Nuchanalth is much richer than in English. We have a lot more endings in Nuchanalth. I think most of you have a good idea of what tense is. Most of you know that there are three kinds of tense: past, present, and future, which indicates whether the event we're talking about happened in the past, is happening right now in the present, or will happen in the future. That is the purpose of tense in human language, and you probably already have some understanding of it. You probably do not have much familiarity with aspect and mood. We talked a little bit about mood in handout 11. We'll talk about mood even more in handout 12. And you will have to talk about mood in order to do your final project. Aspect is probably the most difficult of these three categories to understand, and we'll be talking about that first. Aspect has to do with the shape of events in time, but it is not tense. Tense has to do with when something happens. Aspect has to do with what kind of event it is. Is it a quick event that happens quickly and then it's over? Is it drawn out over a long period of time? Or does it consist of lots of little repetitive actions? Nuchanoff aspect is very detailed. Nuchanoff verbs give quite detailed information about the shape of events in time. This will be a lot easier to understand once we see some examples. Let's start with the four-slot model of Nuchanoff word structure. This is a simplification. Actually, Nuchanoff words are more complicated than this. There are a lot more than four slots in the structure of a Nuchanoff word. But we're going to start by pretending that there are just four slots. This will allow us to start with a simpler picture and gradually make it more complicated. Just below diagram one, we have three sentences of Nuchanoff. Each of these is a one-word sentence. One-word sentences are not at all unusual in Nuchanoff. Because Nuchanoff words are long and complex, we don't need as many words to make a sentence. And it is not at all unusual for a Nuchanoff sentence to consist of just one long word. So all three of these are one-word sentences, but I've broken these sentences into their meaningful parts, specifically into their root, their aspect, their tense, and their mood. Let's start by reading all of these sentences together, and then we'll discuss their meaningful parts. The first sentence, Hawi chitlit ish, he became wealthy. In colloquial, that tense ending would be pronounced mit. Hawi chitlmit ish, he became wealthy. The second sentence is Machino i, come indoors. Machino i. The last sentence, Tsi ka aklitsk, you will chant. Tsi ka aklitsk. I might say this if I were a song leader and I was letting the singers know which one of them would do the next chant. Tsi ka aklitsk, you will chant. Please take a closer look at these three sentences. Hawi chitmit ish, machino tsi ka aklitsk. Tell me if you recognize any of these parts. And it might help to use handout 10. If you go back to handout 10, remember at the bottom of handout 10 are some very common endings. Most of these are inflectional endings. Some of them are tense. Some of them are aspect. Can anyone identify any of the parts in the three sentences right under example one? Can you identify a meaningful part and say what it means? Why don't we start with tense? I think tense will be the easiest one to discuss first. You'll see that in the four-slot model, tense comes in slot three. So take a look at the bits that are in slot three. In Hawi chitlit ish, the bit in slot three is it, or in colloquial it would be pronounced mit. In the second sentence, machinoi, come indoors, there's just nothing in the tense slot. It's blank. That's what that zero symbol means. And in the third sentence, tsi ka aklitsk, the tense slot is akt, akt. So, can someone tell me what does the it or mit mean in Hawi chitmit ish? And what does the akt mean in tsi ka aklitsk? In the first sentence, Hawi chitmit ish, he became wealthy. Mit or it is the past tense. That's what makes this a sentence about the past rather than the present or the future. Okay, good. How about in the third sentence? Tsi qa aklitsk, you will chant. What does akt mean? The akt in slot three. Future tense, correct. And you will find both of these in the list at the bottom of handout 10. So we've identified the tense endings in the example sentences under diagram one. It is the past, and that's what makes he became wealthy a past tense sentence. Akt is the future. That's what makes you will chant a future tense sentence. The past and the future are marked with endings, but present tense sentences don't have a tense ending. So when there's no tense ending, it's usually because it's a present tense sentence. That's why there's nothing in machinui, come indoors. That is a present tense command, therefore there is no tense ending. What about in slot four? That slot four is the slot for mood. So the endings you see under slot four are mood endings. Does anyone recognize any of these endings? Can you say what mood it is and which person it agrees with? We just identified the mood endings in the examples under one. Ish and itsk are strong mood endings. Ish is the strong mood ending agreeing with he, she, or it. Itsk is the strong mood ending agreeing with you. The ending I is the command mood ending for you. Now let's look at slot two. This is the slot for aspect. The aspect ending in hawichit mit ish is ichit. This expresses complete aspect. The aspect ending in machinui is inu. This also expresses complete aspect. The aspect ending in tsi ka aklitsk is a. This expresses continuous aspect. What do complete and continuous mean? That's what we're about to talk about. As I just said, aspect is one of the most difficult concepts to grasp in Nuchanoth grammar. It took me years to feel like I kind of understood aspect. So you will probably still have a lot of questions even after we finish talking about it today. Let's start by talking about aspect in English. Since most of us speak English better than we speak Nuchanoth, that'll be a better place to start. Not only because we're more familiar with English, but also because English has a simpler aspect system than Nuchanoth does. Whereas Nuchanoth has five or six aspects, English has only three aspects. We can see the aspects of English in example two. Take the English, short English sentences in the first column. We speak, we are speaking, we have spoken. These three sentences demonstrate the plain aspect, we speak, the progressive aspect, we are speaking, and the perfect aspect, we have spoken. The plain aspect doesn't mean much. It just doesn't specify what the shape of the event is. The progressive aspect means that we're inside the event. It began before we started talking about it, and it will continue after we finish talking about it. It is ongoing, it is progressing. The perfect aspect, we have spoken, refers to an event that is finished. It started and finished before we started talking about it. Now, most people have trouble distinguishing aspect from tense. But we can see that aspect and tense are actually independent because all three English aspects work just fine both in the present and in the past. We can put all three of these aspects in the past. We spoke is plain aspect in the past. We were speaking is progressive aspect in the past. And we had spoken is perfect aspect in the past. So, what aspect does is it says something about the shape of the event in time and its relation to other events. Do events overlap? Does one come before the other? Does one finish before another one starts? That's what aspect is for. Now let's look at some nouchonal aspects. I've used two verbs here to help illustrate nouchonal aspects. The first verb is the verb for holding, and the second is the verb for turning or rotating. Let's start with holding. The form sukwik is in the complete aspect. Sukwik means to pick something up, and then you're finished. So the complete aspect indicates a complete action. Sukwik is the ongoing aspect. Sukwik. We would say that if someone is in the middle of picking something up and they're still not done. So unlike the complete aspect, the ongoing aspect starts before we started talking about it and it continues after we were talking about it. The continuous aspect is su. Su means holding. And when we say su, we mean that someone is holding something in their hand, and we have not said when they started or when they're going to finish. Sutsuya means picking things up repeatedly. So we might say this about someone who's working in a factory. They pick things up and put them in boxes, pick them up, put them in boxes, and they keep doing the same thing over and over again. That's what sutsuya means. Sutsuk means to pick things up repeatedly, but not at regular intervals. So sutsuya, you're doing it, you're picking up at a steady rate. But with sutsuk, you pick something up, then a little while later you pick something up, then sooner or later you pick something up again. That's the difference between the repetitive and the off and on aspect. We can also exemplify all five aspects with the verb for turn or rotate. Mitshit means to turn once, that do a complete revolution. Mitshit means in the middle of doing that. Mithwa means turning with no beginning or end. We don't know when it began or when it will end. Mithwa means turning repeatedly. This would be the case if every turn does something significant, like there's a click every time a wheel makes one complete revolution. That would be mitkwa. Mitsh means turn, and then a little while later it turns again, and sooner or later it turns again. The difference, again, between the repetitive and the off and on aspect is whether it happens at regular intervals or now and then, off and on. I don't expect this to be completely clear, but if you have some quick questions about aspect, now's a good time. The two most important aspects in nouchonal are the complete aspect and the continuous aspect. For most verbs, these are the only two that you need to know, complete and continuous. There actually aren't very many verbs that have forms in all five of these aspects. But I've given you two of the verbs that do. That is all that I'm going to say about aspect today, and you might find it a little unsatisfying. But I've given you enough information here in handout 12 and back on handout 10 to identify most of the aspect endings that are in your text. And that's what you're going to have to do for your final project. As you go through your text, breaking the words into their meaningful parts. Some of those meaningful parts will be aspect endings, and most of those aspect endings are listed at the bottom of handout 10. I'd like to do a little exercise with you about mood, and if you have the beginner's mood guide handy, that might help you to do this exercise. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the examples on handout 12. Numbers 7 through 13. These examples illustrate several different moods of nouchonal. I want to see if you can identify the mood. Okay, let's start with number 7. The sentence is Wei, say it. Wei, say it. Can anyone identify the mood ending, which is underlined? Sentence 8, Keiichi. What mood is that? I'm not going to go through all of examples 7 through 13 on handout 12, but it will be very good practice for you to test whether you understand what mood is and how it works, to go through each of these examples and try to identify the mood ending. And most of these you will find on the Beginner's Mood Guide. I would like to play a little game with you. From each of your texts, three of you today chose texts, and we listened to part of those texts. And I have already transcribed part of those texts, and from each of your texts, I've pulled out a sentence. In some cases, I've simplified the sentence a little bit. So the sentence I'm about to show you, in some cases, is a simplified version of the sentence from your text. This first sentence is from Veronica's text, which is heavy weather. One of the sentences in Veronica's texts is, Quatyik ish nas. Quatyik ish nas. This sentence means, the day is heavy. In other words, there's high pressure. A storm is coming. The day is heavy. Quatyik ish nas. What I'd like to challenge you to do is analyze this sentence into its parts. What is the predicate? What are the participants? And what is the mood ending? Can anyone break this sentence into its meaningful parts and say what they mean? Next, here's a more complicated sentence from Aimee's text. The sentence is Hayap alshits yaqwil mit itk a'atal. This means, I forgot what you asked. Now, this is a good example of a multi-clause sentence. What we have here is one sentence consisting of three words, but it consists of more than one clause. There are two clauses here. I've broken these clauses up using square brackets to help you see the structure here. Hayap alshits means I forgot, and yaqwil mit itka'atash means what you asked. And what we have here is one clause inside another. Do you see how what you asked is an entire clause all by itself? But that entire clause serves as a participant in the larger clause. The larger clause, I forgot what you asked, has two participants, I and what you asked. I forgot what you asked. So two participants, I and what you asked. What you asked is a single participant, but because it's a complex idea, it has to be conveyed by an entire clause all by itself. That's the job of the inner clause. And if you look at the Nuchonal sentence, you'll see that each clause has its own mood ending. Can anyone identify the mood endings in both clauses? Take a look at the chat. I have written the sentence again, but both clauses are shown by square brackets, and I've separated several endings using dashes. So Carla correctly pointed out that the S at the end of Hayap al-Shits is a mood ending, and the itk at the end of Yaqwil mit itk is also a mood ending. What about shit and mit? Can anyone identify those? Aimee, how about you? So we have identified the aspect endings, the tense endings, and the mood endings in this sentence. Hayap al-Shits, I forgot, is in the complete aspect because the forgetting has already happened. It's finished. And that's what the complete aspect is for. It indicates complete actions that are over and done with. Yaqwil mit itk a'atal, what you asked, is in the past tense, which is why it has the past tense ending mit. The upper clause, Hayap al-Shits, I forgot, is in the strong mood because it is a statement of fact. When Tom says, I forgot, he knows that for a fact. He knows that he forgot. It is a statement of fact for which your dialect uses the strong mood. But the embedded clause, what you forgot, is the entire clause is acting like a participant in the upper clause, and that is what the definite mood is for. the definite mood ending itk shows that the embedded clause serves as a participant in the larger clause. So today we have learned a few more things about how to break down Nuchanoth sentences and words. We learned that the main parts of a Nuchanoth clause are a predicate, participants, and a mood ending. And we learned about some of the most important inflectional endings in Nuchanoth clauses, especially aspect, tense, and mood. I think you already, all of you probably already understand what tense is. Mood, you're developing an understanding of, and you will soon have a very good idea of it. Aspect will probably take a while to understand. It is a very important and also complex aspect of Nuchanoth inflection. In this course, you don't need to completely understand how all of these parts work together in a sentence, but you do need to be able to start recognizing them. So you know enough now to recognize mood endings, tense endings, and most aspect endings when you see them. So you should continue recognizing these endings when you see them. And the more examples you see and understand, the better an idea you'll get of exactly how aspect, tense, and mood work, and why they're important. I'll now say a few words about homework 6, which most of you have already started, some of you have already finished, and the final project. Homework 6 is to transcribe 3 sentences of a text. I asked you to choose a text from the page of recordings of Tom and transcribe at least 3 sentences and email them to me. Once you do that, homework 6 is done. The final project is a little more involved. I'm pasting the instructions again into the chat. The final project is to transcribe a text of at least 60 words. If the text you chose is a short one of less than 60 words, you just need to pick a second text to add to it to make 60 words. So you can give me one text or 2 little ones as long as you have at least 60 words. Preferably one of the recordings of Tom linked from our course webpage. You will transcribe the text in Nuchanoth. You will add an interlinear analysis of every word and its meaningful parts. So you'll break the meaningful parts up with dashes, just like we did today. Then you'll say what each part means, just like we did today. And you will give every sentence a natural English translation. So we saw, for example, that the one word sentence I forgot is Hayap Alshitls in Nuchanoth. Hayap Alshitls literally says, forget complete aspect I. But that is a literal translation. But a natural English translation would be, I forgot. And if you have any questions about what that should look like, what that interlinear analysis should look like, look back at handout 10. As you are identifying the meaningful parts of your text, I recommend looking them up, trying to find them in Sapir and Swadesh's word list, which is linked from the course webpage. Their word list consists of pages 235 through 334 of Nootka texts. And I think you will also find the beginner's mood guide very helpful as you're doing this, because most of the mood endings that occur in your text should be on the beginner's mood guide. I should tell you that the beginner's mood guide is not a complete list of all of the mood endings in Nuchanoth. There are about 20 moods, and most moods have 6 different endings, so that's more than 100 endings. The beginner's mood guide just has the most common and important mood endings. There is another resource that you'll also find on kustup.net, which is the expert mood guide, which is a complete list of every single mood ending that occurs in your language. Are there any questions on the final project? On our last day of class, I will invite you to present your project to the class. You don't have to, but I hope that some of you will choose to present your projects, because we would love to see the text that you have written out, how you have gotten a better understanding of them, and how you've broken them down into their meaningful parts.